Today is the Sunday after the Ascension. It's one of a kind. Next Sunday being Pentecost, the second most important feast in the whole liturgical year. Please prepare for that. There is a day of fast and abstinence traditionally on this coming Saturday. Many of you will be at a golf tournament, but nevertheless, the spirit should be there regarding this anticipation of the Pentecost Sunday. Please pray. There are only 2 weeks left for our Easter duty to be performed. Many of you don't need to pray that you accomplish this task, but we're not here for us. We're here for God, and God is offended every year by so many people not making their Easter duty. So it's our duty today to pray before Trinity Sunday that people make a good confession and receive our Lord worthily during this Easter time. There is a presentation after this Mass, specifically for the parishioners. The guests are welcome, as many guests here this weekend due to a wedding. But we will remove the Blessed Sacrament shortly after Mass. So to have this as an auditorium, to have a slideshow projection, it is an update on our capital projects, the church building, the accomplishments of what we're doing. Please stay and note that it is similar to before, but having dollar signs next to them and some explanations as of last night. I did talk to our local bishop last night, and I do have some updates for you. There is a marriage conference this Thursday, the last of its series until next fall, so please consider attending the marriage conference. After Mass, there is the Mother of Lou prayer. Pray for vocations. And then please just view the bulletin for all of the other announcements that are there peppered for your vision. And the banns of marriage are announced for Andrew Brindle of Warners, New York, and Molly Bascom of Warners, New York, who plan to marry on August 24th of this year at St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Oswego. If you know of any impediment to the marriage, you're obliged in conscience to advise me as soon as possible. For today's Mass, the epistle is taken from Peter chapter 4. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watch in prayers, but before all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one towards another without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as of the power which God administers, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Gospel is from St. John chapter 15 and 16. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he shall give testimony of me. And you shall give testimony because you are with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the hour comes that whosoever kills you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I had told them to you." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are living today in a Catholic culture. Some of you are shocked by those words. But in the recent times within this apostolate and this place of Warners, New York, of Central New York, in a place where no one would ever envision good coming from it, we have seen some recent indications of a Catholic culture, something good, something for which I thank you for doing. We see that many people are trying to focus upon the essentials, God Himself, the traditions of the faith. And from this, we want to take thanks and appreciation. Last Sunday with the children, the first communicants, and all throughout this week, the children trying to receive as many communions as possible, one father bringing his child every day within his communion garment to Mass. What an expression of faith. We also had last night a wedding, which was very well done by the couple and those who were there to see the joys of a modest, proper entertainment and congratulations on a great sacrament. We also have many people trying to talk about what we will do for the preservation of the faith, good, healthy conversations. All these things are happening right here. And God willing, you have the desire to participate in what will come after Mass today, the practical presentations of a future establishment of Christendom here within this area. But that said, we want to also see that people are thinking of God. There was a story last night that was encouraged to be part of this sermon today. It was a young lady who has recently driven two different times and saw God speaking to her. It's not an apparition, and yet it is the presence of God that she looks for. One time she was driving, and for some reason she had this inspiration or the impulse to go get gas, to fill up, and she, of course, looked at the dash. She had a half tank of gas. Why do I need to go fill up? So she pushed away this inspiration, this nagging, which doesn't come upon all of us every time we drive. But she was nagged and nagged, and she finally said, I'm going to respond and fill up. Lo and behold, she found when she was filling up her car that her missile was on her hood. Another time, she was driving, no inspirations came. And lo and behold, afterwards, she found out that she was missing her cell phone. Well, she tried to trace back, and much time had elapsed since she had her cell phone, and yet she found it. It, of course, was thrown off of the hood of her car and was smashed, but still worked. And she has it today. But it is destroyed, save that it still works. It looks mangled. And for her, these two expressions of reality for her showed that the missal, which is the liturgy, which is the word of God, is much more important and must be preserved. And so therefore, God inspired her to preserve it. Cell phone technology, that does not need to be with us. And yet, it is a tool, and therefore it survived. But these two things for us paint the picture of what we have today. You are going to have a sermon now, and at the next Mass, we'll call them the bookends on the same topic. They're the bread and not the butter. But the presentation that will take place after Mass is actually the meat and potatoes. What is most important is what will be said at the conference, because it revolves around the Church of God, around a place of worship for Almighty God. And that is something that should interest us and should ask for from within ourselves if we have that as our priority. But the sermon now and afterwards, the bookends, the two pieces of the same kind of loaf of bread, is going to be on finances. They do mean something. They are there for a purpose, but they're not the most important. That said, we must speak oftentimes of this one precept of the church to contribute to the support of the church. Here in 2019, a sermon on this topic was preached. Some of you recall it. It's not for everyone, but most especially for the young adults here today. Because 4 years ago, you didn't think about having a job and having to contribute to the support of the church. Or 4 years ago, we didn't have all of you parishioners here. And so for you, those young adults, and for the new parishioners who are often not preached on this topic, we mention these things today. And for those who know what they ought to do, encourage others to follow the virtue. Oftentimes we shy away from preaching on finances because it is harped upon so much. It is something we don't like to talk about. However, it is one of the 6 precepts of the church. It must have some purpose within one's life. Let us recall that the precepts of the church, which we could call the commandments of the church, are there to allow us to follow the commandments of God more closely. We know the 10 commandments, but do we know which precepts are complemented to those commandments? The precept to contribute to the support of the church, it supports the 4th commandment, to honor thy father and mother. Holy Mother Church is provided by and supported and honored by you, the faithful. You are the children. You are the sheep of the fold. And so you need to honor your church, God himself, his church, by trying to support financially where you can. And here we have the letter of the law from the canon law, number 222. So easy to remember. It says, Christ's faithful have the obligation to provide for the needs of the church so that the church has available to it those things which are necessary for the divine worship, for works of the apostolate, and for charity, and for the worthy support of its ministers. That can be dissected. The Code of Canon Law, number 222, the old canon law, not the new one. It is impressive to hear, but it does appertain to us now. We do not have a proper place to worship Almighty God. We don't. And that is why, God willing, you come to the conference wherein I will give you what we will soon do, as this gym mass is not long for us. And yet, do we think of it in that way? The young adults, do you think of the importance of this precept? Of course, we're busy, and of course, we need to save money for our future, and of course, we need to establish our own families, and yet, it's the law of the church that we need to build a church, or we need to buy a church. We can't just be complacent where we are. And the purpose is the works of charity. There are people who are not being served when they think of a mass in a gym. They're scared to death to come into this brick castle, 14 different entrances. They're not sure how to come. The charity is not reaching to them. And also we see that we are obliged to support our priests. And this is very foreign to many people in the crisis in the church, because we just go to a given parish where we have a good sermon. We go to a parish where we like the priest. We go to a parish where it's close by. We need to be faithful to a father. This idea of unity under one pastor, of course, God, Christ, the Pope, our local bishop, when we can, and then our pastor. We can't just go from church to church. Where is our support to that church? Of course, you who are visiting today, you can support your parish where you belong from. Perfectly fine. That is your duty. You could give simply today to offer for the support of this day, the bread that you get through Holy Communion. It's $1. Nothing much. But when we talk about a parishioner, when they travel, they have to support their pastor, their church. And that is why St. Mary's in Kansas just built this magnificent church, because those people poured into that one place, their sweat and tears and blood. And we can do the same. We also have to see that it is the church's hierarchy to take what we call Peter's pence, or a support to the diocese. We, of course, you hopefully know, don't give anything to the diocese. We don't give anything to the Vatican City. But within the structure of the church, a parish gives a certain percentage to their bishop, and that bishop gives a certain percentage to the Pope. That's how it works. We here in the Society of St. Pius X do something similarly, that 10% of our first collections every year go to the district office in Kansas City, and 5% of that goes to the General House in Switzerland. We support this SSPX apostolate from you. This is something to keep in our minds and to help things be envisioned. Also, we have this common term of tithing. Some of you are scared to death to tithe 1/10 of your income to the support of the church. That is difficult, of course, but this has to be our mentality. We have to try to encourage the children to set themselves up so that they can give. The people in St. Mary's, Kansas, some of them gave over and above tithing. Some could give only less than that. But when we all gather together, the work of God is performed. God doesn't want us to die. God doesn't want us to become paupers, but God gives and he wants something in return. To those who have more, more generosity is expected. And though this tithing typically would be from our net income, you can take it from your gross, but that's more difficult before taxes. But your net income, you figure what that is every year, and you try to give up to, if possible, a 10% to the church, if not, at least close to that. But do we realize that this is regarding the support of the church, not just charitable donations. And the Spirit now, we have from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, the Lord directed that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Of course, it's normal. But you as well, if you give the gospel to others, God from the gospel will give something to you in return. That of charity, grace in your soul. This is what we look for. And then this whole question of loyalty, it's a question of justice, not charity. For you visitors today, it would be charitable to offer something in the collection. It's charity, not justice. But anyone who comes to this parish, young adults included, it's a matter of justice to give to the support of the church. It's normal. If you have a father, and all of us have a father, we would respect him before our uncle, or before our neighbor, or before our godfather. And therefore, it's normal to support your parish before other churches. And then the moral theologians mark the offenses against this precept as grave matter. If by omission you leave the church in grave need or overburden others, it's something to really ponder when we think of the sins and neglect. Sins are thoughts, words, actions, or omissions against the law of God. This is connected to the law of God, the fourth commandment. And if we have neglected to contribute as we ought, and doing so, we put the burden on other people because other people do try to contribute. Or if we don't have a church because of neglect and all those effects that take place because of that, if we are the cause of such injustice, it could be grave matter, not necessarily mortal because of lack of sufficient reflection and lack of full consent of the will. But that is why the priest must preach upon this. And parents, do educate your children accordingly. If they don't have a checkbook, you have to find a way for them to contribute. Certainly the church will do their job, but these excuses of modern technology not being available to have credit cards and ACH donations, we will do our part, but you have to know that God still will request his part. The why. We have to further the gospel. We want the salvation of souls and the glory of God. That's why we want the support of the church. It's not because we want money. It's not because we want beautiful altars or nice vestments. These vestments were donated, by the way. These specific vestments came from a priest nearby who loves what we're doing and gave these to us for free. What are the funds used for? Of course, to upkeep the church, the furnishings, the necessary items, travel expenses. We're doing fine, dear parishioners. We are fine financially in this gym and no overhead. This is a school building. We are reaping the fruits of a school when the school should reap the fruits of a church. We are not fine when we look at having no church, so we have to dig deep and look at ourselves where our love of God's worship is. And how? How can we give? Of course, it's not just money. It's also our labor. We can take care of the grounds and not have to pay a landscaper. We can also spiritually support children from the earliest years, should offer their communions for the church. For the young adults who can't scrape by to pay their insurance for their car and groceries, they need to pray more intensely to gain money or that others can do that job. And then in kind, of course, trying to help out where you can. Certainly, I know who you are. I know what you do. I see the numbers, and I'm encouraged by all the things we do, and yet we have to do more, and we can do more. St. Mary's, Kansas waited 40 years for their beautiful church. We can wait 45, or we can be better than them and do something now. The manner in which we can give, the first collections typically is that support of the church. The second collection is not necessary. It's good, not necessary, but your tithing goes to the first collection. Stipends for Mass, stipends for the sacraments. It's great to remember that baptisms, first communions, confirmations, extreme unctions, if you offer stipends, that helps to pay for the gas, to support the priests. And then special works, the missions, seminaries, religious houses, seminary tuition. That's great if you can contribute to that. But if you're not contributing to the church, firstly, or is in your tithing, you shouldn't be distracted by the other things. And remember, as was mentioned before, some of you remember it, do not judge. Some of you don't give to the first collection in the eyes of others, but you clandestinely give when no one's looking. There was one time a parishioner was looking at someone who was very, very wealthy and never, ever saw them give in the first collection. They watched, they secondly glanced, and they were trying to be so credible, they finally went to the pastor and said, so-and-so doesn't give and you're asking us to give. That priest said, watch what you judge. That person every Monday morning gave a sumptuous check so that no one saw, no one knew, but gave more than anyone in the whole parish. And so for us to remember that this is not just out of the blue, how does it relate to today? We have in today's epistle from the 1 Peter chapter 4 something that should ring true regarding this precept. It says, dearly beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but before all things have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. That's it. We have to love each other so much that we don't overburden one person or another, but we all bear the cross together. to build or to buy a church, or the multi-million dollars that will be explained at the conference in a few moments, is not going to be done by one person or even just us here, but to relieve that burden from all of us, we have to do our part. Charity overcomes a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one towards another without murmuring. It's amazing. Without murmuring. I was told that after the Immaculata Consecration, people were murmuring. I can't believe that there's a harp up there. I can't believe that that's what they did. They murmured from the day one, not appreciating that magnificent church. Let us stop murmuring about what is done here or what is done there. Let us unify. Of course, some of us want to support the boarding house, and some of us want to support the academy, some of us only the church, but we're here together, this Catholic culture. Let us continue to remember this 1 Peter chapter 4, and we have many, many things to overcome, but charity overcomes them all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.